Welcome to another episode of Kentucky Football Carpool Show. I'm Nick.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chris.
Hey, Chris, what's up? I haven't seen you in a while. I heard from you in a while.
Yeah. It's been a week.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, yeah, we just came back from Charleston. Me and Chris got a nice meal together. Everyone's reaction to last week's game?
Just heartbroken. Just frustrated.
I laughed.
You laughed? I called him missing an extra point. I told Mike that. I called him. I was like, he's going to miss the extra point right here because he almost missed the extra point the time before they scored. So I was disappointed and stuff. I thought the box score looked good. I thought the offense looked fine. Like we were talking about last night. I think if you would have told us that the offense was going to be putting up numbers like this, regardless if it's Mississippi or not, we would be 2-0. I mean, that's what I think.
Yeah, no kidding.
Agreed.
All right, so before we get into the game too much, kind of recapping that Ole Miss game, which is really not much to recap besides Kentucky just beat themselves. But we talked a little bit about Mike's getting text messages while we play.
Sorry. I'm a popular man. What can I say?
Yeah, okay. But the crowd, we were talking about last night, we talked about a little bit of the crowd.
They could easily get like 10,000 more people in.
They could definitely get 10,000 more people in there. It's an overkill. Don't like it. I'm even more mad because the Miami Dolphins are now having a sold-out crowd this weekend. Or not, they're going to be sold out, but they're allowed to.
Yeah, they're allowed to. I don't know if that's a good idea, but I think you definitely do more people than what are there.
You can easily do 10,000 more people in Commonwealth easily. And totally social distance.
You could probably do another 20,000 for real.
Total overkill.
I mean, Nick and I are like the only people in our row.
I know. Like I said.
And it's like every other row, it seemed like.
I do like to move around a little bit, but the game atmosphere is nothing like the old games.
And to top it off, there's Ole Miss fans behind us.
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck out. Like, 12,000 people will get Ole Miss right next to us.
Let's be honest here. Every time we go to games and as an SEC opponent, we have some shithead that sits by. Well, that really wasn't shithead. It's actually pretty quiet.
Yeah, they're quiet. They're scared.
But I mean, at the same time, we always get the fans around us, especially Tennessee. They'll be surrounded around me, I'm sure.
They're
this
the
year.
Worst. They're the absolute worst.
Next year,
yeah.
But
do you remember last year they were spinning off the top of the ramp on people?
Oh yeah. Trash fans.
Definitely trash fans. Trash program, trash fans.
Oh yeah, for sure. So with that said, I thought that they could probably have about 10,000 more people in there. I think it's disappointing. I think it's an overkill, like I've been saying about this whole thing. I do think it's serious, but at the same time, I think having me and Mike sit together and then literally on the other end of the row have another two people sitting there, no people in front of us, no people behind us, have a whole open row to the left of us is total overkill.
Absolutely.
Anything to say on that, Chris?
I mean, you know how I feel about the whole COVID thing, especially in Kentucky. It's overkill. I mean, look at the statistics. You're probably not going to get it. If you do get it, you're going to recover. But you all have the governor there and the mayor there in Louisville, so you know they are who they are. They suck.
Well, yeah, I don't disagree with that. But at the same time, I get he's doing it. He's following the lines of most people.
The administration.
But I mean, I think as far as the crowd goes, I think 12,000 like we have right now currently is a terrible move. And I think they should probably go with 30,000. I don't get it, but you know, I'm with Chris.
The pumping of the noise sucks.
Oh, the pumping of the noise was terrible. I agree with Chris, though. I think it's total overkill, and it's just going right along with what we've been seeing from a lot of people this year. So that's okay. I mean, don't expect to have anyone erupt this year. I'll tell you that. Don't expect to have anyone erupt this year because it seems University of Kentucky is going to go exactly what Bashir says. And does anyone see us having crowds at Rupp Arena this year?
No.
No, I mean the attendance was dwindling anyway.
I mean, I really haven't had a desire to go to a basketball game in a few years now.
I went to Midnight Madness last year, and the adding the backs on the chairs, especially in the upper levels, was
clutch.
A lot better. I mean, it makes because the upper levels. I mean, me and Mike used to get free tickets to basketball games because we renewed early, and it would hurt your back. I mean, by the end of the game, your back was hurting.
I'm like halftime, and it's just like, all right, I got to go, like, do some stretches or something.
Because you're constantly leaning forward, but that's for another podcast. So to recap that Ole Miss game, I thought the running game looked great. I actually thought the front seven looked great outside of not being able to get pressure. But the problem with Kentucky, and it continues to be the problem with Kentucky, is the secondary. I mean, there is just nothing, particularly one corner that's getting beat to death.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a beating like this in a long time. I mean, not since UK versus and Louisville last year.
One corner who talked a lot of trash.
I don't. I mean, Chris, is there any way to fix Joseph? I guess we'll put his name out there.
Brad White and Mark Stoops in their interview this week were asked about that, and they both essentially said that they're not putting their corners in the best position to succeed. So they're saying they're schematically they're not setting them up for success. They're making defense a little bit too complicated, leaving them out on an island a little bit too often, bringing the safety down, run support when you really need to do that. But it seems like the problem with that is you don't have a leader in secondary once things start going wrong to pick everybody back up and refocus them and to get together. It's kind of like once the bleeding starts, let's just let it keep going.
I mean, you made a really good point last night, and I don't want to take your point away from you, but to dig a little bit deeper in there, I think that there is definitely some sort of arrogance about the secondary that's really unwarranted, because you had made references early in the offseason saying, did we really play anybody that was worth a damn throwing the ball last year, and weather-wise, playing teams that did throw the ball, like Georgia and stuff like that, that would probably throw a ton of times. I mean, not a ton, but 20, 30 times, simply didn't throw the ball because it rained. Even the UofL game.
I wouldn't even say Georgia. I would say teams like Missouri. And then they made Jared Guantano from Tennessee, who came in as a backup in the second half, look like Peyton. Like there were warning signs there where we played, especially in the Virginia Tech game, where we played decent quarterbacks and teams who actually spread the field and throw it down the field and test the corners, they struggled a lot against those guys. Now, in the Virginia Tech game, they turned it around in the second half and they made plays when they needed to, the secondary did. But by and large, they got, you know, they got taken to task the entire game.
Yeah, like I said, I think the issue has been, just what I've seen from TV and being there, I have seen, especially with Joseph, is he's getting beat off the ball. When the snap of the ball goes, they literally shove him back, create space, and get open. And that's what you teach a wide receiver to do. You teach a corner to, and when the ball is snapped, to kind of press him at the line. And that's what Stoops' teams do. For the most part, he gets those big athletic corners, those 6'2", 200-pound guys that are big corners that – up until about 5 years ago, I'm going to tell you, Stoops is one of the first ones I've seen that actually were getting those. Now, everybody's going to those type of corners now where they're big and athletic, or big and tall, and you know, you can't throw over them, stuff like that. Now, there's still some of the guys, you know, corners are probably still around 5'10 to 6 foot. But, guys, you've seen a lot more of those 6'2", 210 guys playing corner, and that's because that's to stop that, you know, kind of that separation right there at the snap of the ball. And his teams are not doing that.
You can't really knock Kelvin Joseph when he had to defend Seth Williams. Seth Williams may be the best wide receiver in the nation, and he's going to overpower and out-jump and out-athleticism damn near every corner in the nation. So you kind of have to give him a reprieve on that, especially since the first game back into college football. He hadn't played in a year and a half, and even at LSU he played sparingly as a true freshman. So you can't really give him that much shit, but – for as much as he talked,
yes, and, that's what Mike was talking about.
Himself as a number one corner, and I think it's obvious that he's had his sights set on being a one and done at Kentucky. You know, you kind of got to back that up, or shut the fuck up.
Yep, and that's exactly what Mike was saying. You know, you talk like that, you
got to be able to back it up.
He still hasn't been completely quiet. Even at that Auburn game, he wasn't completely quiet. No,
you still have to have some sort of attitude, but you can't just be running your mouth like you're the best guy out there when you're just getting beat like you stole something.
He has. He has been. And, you know, this secondary is taking a humbling like I've never seen before.
Yeah.
I do think there's some bright spots. I think Eccles looks pretty solid. Who else did y'all say?
Yeah, Eccles. Corker's looking pretty solid.
Guys have looked pretty solid, but at the same time, you can't defend them when they give up that kind of yardage. Now, I understand that Florida, who has two all-SEC guys in their back, in their defensive backs, they were getting thrown all over against Ole Miss too. But Chris brings up the point that it's there was a spread offense versus a spread offense, which that's kind of stuff's going to happen because you're on and off the field so quick. But I don't know, man. I think we
need to bring more blitzes, man. We're not getting enough pressure.
I think that's where it comes out to.
Nick, I agree with Nick where Stoops respects his front four, but we got to bring an extra man. Bring a Wright or Jamin Davis, somebody. Just bring a little extra pressure.
That's probably what Chris is talking about. That's probably where they're going to help out the corners at a lot, was getting pressure and kind of hurrying them up.
Make that quarterback rush, yeah.
So, I don't know, man.
We have a ton of pressure.
We have a great defense. They're super reliable, especially in run support, but you can't just rush four and rush three every time. We got to blitz more.
I would think so. Yeah. I would think so, but... But at the same time, I was reading something the other day. I don't know who the heck posted it or whatever. But Washington used to play Washington State, and they wouldn't blitz anybody. They would literally rush three guys and play those. But Kentucky's kind of bread and butter has been, since Stoops been here, is pressure and having a pass rusher that can get to the quarterback and kind of make them hurry up.
Make a bad throw.
Now, I'm going to tell you, I do think Ole Miss or Mississippi State's a better team. They have a better running back. I agree with you on the Ole Miss wide receiver is the best wide receiver. But I think – that if you – and Joseph's one of those people that you're going to have to maybe bench him for – not really bench him, but take his starting role away. He might wake up.
Humble him a little.
And that's the thing is I don't think anything's going to get fixed in a week.
No.
And we were talking last night, and I thought it was going to rain on Saturday. Now it's looking like it's just going to be scattered on Saturday. Okay. If it rains, that's going to help out Kentucky a lot, in my opinion. But – Chris doesn't think so because they do still have probably the best running back in the SEC.
Yeah.
And they're utilizing how you should utilize a running back with his talents. He can catch the ball over the field. He runs really good routes. He's shifty. He's hard to bring down. Like, they spread him all over the field. He's had 150-yard receiving game already this year. So he's starting to have Kentucky every game, every year since he's been at Mississippi State. Now it's even worse because they're going to create mismatches where, you know, Jordan Wright or Jameen Davis or some linebacker is going to match up with him on the outside and he's going to burn their ass.
Yeah. I think Jamin Davis had a hell of a game last week. I think, you know, Mike kept saying
struggled a couple times on some body on the play action.
That's what I worry about with him and his coverage.
But if you bring him off the middle, even on a blitz, the kid's pretty unstoppable when you have to block him.
Jamin Davis had a great game last week, so I don't want to take much away from him, but he did give up a couple touchdowns by him biting inside the red zone.
Opening up that middle, yeah.
But I just don't know where they're going to fix it. I don't know if they can fix it, especially with – now, if they were playing Vandy this weekend and following up with – even following up with Tennessee after that. But when you're simply going against another team with a better offensive coach – with probably more talent, I wouldn't say probably, overall have more talent, you don't think that that's a very good matchup for Kentucky.
No. But yet we're somehow favored.
Well, we're favored because they lost to Arkansas, and they looked really bad losing to Arkansas. But I think, wasn't it Matt Jones was the one that said that. He said, if I could have guessed, Leach loses.
Has a big win. He has a terrible loss next week.
Yeah, he has a terrible loss the next week. So, I mean, he did that at Washington State, too, and Texas Tech. Like, they would have a great win, and then they would lose to a shitty team. So, I don't know how I feel about this weekend, but especially with the rains not coming in, I was feeling a lot better about Kentucky towards the, seeing the weather report, seeing the hurricane rolling through and dumping a ton of water. That'll help out Kentucky because we have the best offensive line in the SEC. I don't care what anyone says. That we are the best SEC offensive line.
Go ahead. Yeah, I said this last night. Mississippi State and every air raid team does well where Kentucky is really struggling on defense, and that's tackling. So they throw the ball in intermediate short routes, create a ton of space, create a situation where their elusive wide receivers, their elusive running back can get out in space against one or two Kentucky defenders and make them make a move. And Kentucky has been terrible, particularly in the secondary when it comes to tackling.
Yeah, I mean, they've gotten to the quarterback, and they can't make tackles either. I think Pascal's had a hell of a season.
Yeah.
He'd have even
have six sacks this season.
He would have a ton of sacks if he just wrapped up. But that's the thing. Stuff like that, it just comes back to my point that I was making at the end of the game, the Ole Miss game. And the fumble with Rose, listen, that was dumb, and I get it. He wasn't the only one that did it last Saturday. Ironically, I don't know how two people do the exact same thing on the same Saturday during the same time. But they did, and, you know, it was a wash because we got the ball back and literally scored like six plays later. We punted the ball to him, whatever. He fumbles. He does all that stupid shit. He fumbles. We get they get the ball. They punt it four plays later, two plays later, smoke scoring. So I don't see that was a wash to me. That didn't cause the outcome. Obviously, the kicking game was the outcome of the game, and the defense not being able to make stops. I thought mismanagement by Stoops again with timeouts. It's a common theme with this coaching staff.
Yep.
Has not stopped. I don't understand why you can't learn how to call timeouts.
He was fine going to overtime.
I hate that. I think
take a shot, try to win.
A minute 40 left. There was 3rd and 16. Minute 40 left. He let the clock run down, and then they get a stop on 4th and 1. That just tells you right there how little faith he has in his defense. Does that not tell everyone that?
Yeah.
He was content on letting Ole Miss run that clock down because he had a feeling they could get a first down, and they about got it.
Yeah.
But they stopped him. Then he calls a timeout, 40 seconds left, and then he comes down, hands the ball off, goes to overtime. To me, that's poor coaching. To me, that's not having good confidence. If you don't have confidence in your offensive coordinator or quarterback, I really lose a game where Terry was throwing to try to get us down in field goal range and throws a pick, than to lose the way we just lost. Yeah. So. You play to win.
Go for it.
Yeah, I hate to sound like that coach. You play to win a game, right? So, I mean, that's what you got to do. You got to take some chances. You got to go for it. And when you have three timeouts left with a minute 40 going down the clock, and then you just left two timeouts on the board in the fourth quarter when you had the ball on your own 30. They still had pretty decent field position. That was a hell of a punt.
Oh, yeah.
The punt. But here's the difference is if Kentucky were to – of stopped them on the 3rd and 16 and stopped them, and it would have been a 4th and 16. That punt would have probably been around the 40.
Yeah.
And so then you are really willing to deal in. But since they got 15 yards there and they kind of played a prevent defense, just keep everything in front of that first down marker. That's what they did. They just let Ole Miss catch the ball and pick up the full 15 yards, which was another mistake. In my opinion, they obviously, I've always heard, if you're going to go overtime at home, you're advantage home team, right? But I just think Kentucky's, if they want to make the next level, you got to start like playing to not scared to lose. Like the stuff, don't play to, well, we'll get into overtime and win 45-42. That's not the winning mentality to do it. You want to end it within regulation.
Yep.
So I don't know when that'll stop. This is definitely going to kill recruiting. Chris talked about it last night. It's going to murder recruiting. If they lose Saturday,
we go 0-3. Let's go 0-5. I mean, it's an easy counter recruiting effort by other coaches to say, "Oh, look at Kentucky. They haven't modernized their offense. They can't win big games. This was supposed to be like their best year. Supposed to be the deepest, talented, most talented team. All that kind of stuff, and they still shit the bed. Why would you want to go there?
I mean,
they don't throw the ball. They don't go downfield." Nothing.
This will instantly put Stoops in a very weird position. I've been someone that has been a defender of this type of schedule. I have nonstop said,
want to play better teams.
We need to play better teams to see actually where we are as a team. And you're seeing this year where you don't have Toledo's and you don't have Eastern Michigan's on their schedule.
To beat up on.
Well, not just to beat up on, to save you during a shitty game. You play an SEC team, whether it be Vandy, Arkansas, or it be Alabama or Georgia, you play a shitty game.
You're going to get blown out.
You have a potential to get beat. They almost did it last year. Was it last year against Vandy or 2 years ago against Vandy?
Yeah.
Where it was 14-7. They played a terrible game, and Vandy about beat them. So that's the kind of shit that Stoops teams have constantly done. And I think this year in particular, I think a lot of these problems, and this might just be my opinion, I don't know if it's your all's opinion, I think this team is very distracted this year from a lot of different things. We don't need to point out the things that's going on, but there's lots of distractions, lots of guys wanting to get to the league, lots of guys thinking they're the best player in the country, yep. Lots of guys being me. And I think they are a close team.
Too much time on Twitter than on exactly. The practice field.
Got a lot of things going on, leaving practices and stuff like that, which is totally okay with a team that's winning and stuff like that. But this is Stoops teams try to always focus and don't make any stupid mental errors. And there's been eight penalties last game.
A lot of stupid penalties.
A lot of turnovers that are forced turnovers. A lot of things that are. Fundamentals, man, and you start seeing missing extra points and stuff. That's telling you something, man. That's telling you, you know. That, I mean, in my opinion, that is because the distracted team is a team that does stupid mental errors. I mean, Chris, do you have anything on that?
The issues of kicking game those aren't new. I don't think that has a that's the issue with distractions. I think that's the issue with talent. And not only the kicking game, but kick coverage. Think about how the kind of fields we're setting these teams up for. Ole Miss was like starting at the 35 and 40 every time.
Yeah, which is unusual for a Stoops team because the past couple of years we've been actually really good on kick coverage.
Well, I think the other thing's problem is Chance Poor can't get it to the end zone. He can't kick it to the end zone. Maybe once a game he kicks it to the end zone. Like that's a problem.
Coach. And Dean Hood, he's gone now. So you have three coaches on the team trying to dual hat their positions and special teams all together. It's just a recipe for disaster.
Well, I agree with you on that. But I also think what's going on now too is I think it's a valid point to be made that you all get almost the whole coaching staff got raises this year. You know, if you go on four. And your defense looked as bad, and particularly on the defensive side, they got raises. People are going to start saying, "Man, we got one of the highest paid coaching staffs in the country. What are we doing?"
Yeah, and we can't stop a hurry up offense.
I mean, what are we doing? That was the difference in the Ole Miss game when they went down 28-14. Lane Kiffin, his big adjustment was we're going to hurry them up. And Kentucky could not substitute; they were tired. You could tell they're not really tired, but you could tell they were getting more out there. Used to substitute, and Kentucky likes to substitute and use a ton of defensive linemen. They love using a ton of defensive backs and constantly rotating out, and they weren't doing that. So the same defensive backs are being left in the field getting beat to death, and that's what Lane Kiffin did. It was smart, and that's what Auburn did. That's why Lane Kiffin did it. And you don't think the old Pirate's going to do the exact same thing because he is.
Yeah. He was coming in playing on doing it no matter what.
Yeah, he's going to figure out an offense to beat this defense, and it's embarrassing when your coach is kind of a defensive coordinator guru type thing with defensive backs in particularly, and you have a defensive coordinator that was we all were scared was going to maybe leave to the NFL or something like that, getting a better job. And I mean, is he earning his keep right now? But I mean, Chris, you make a good point with the players got to play, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're putting them in a good position schematically. All the talent's there. Perform.
Yeah, I mean, that's the end of that.
Don't have all the plays, and you can't blame that on the coach. Those are the players.
Yeah, but the coach has got to get them disciplined. Got to get them, you're not going to do this and that. I mean, I just feel like it's a weird year with everything going on. And I just feel like they're distracted this year. That's what I really do. We all are, though. We all are.
I don't want to give anybody that fucking excuse. I think it's ridiculous because if you look around the league, you look at teams like Tennessee who sucked the last 2 years. You look at teams like Florida who have been pretty subpar the last couple years. And they're kicking ass. Those teams look exponentially better than they have the last couple years. So I don't want to hear the whole excuse and, oh, it's COVID. Shit. No. They're just not playing well. And yes, the offense is performing well. You talked about this last night. There is a mental aspect to where you have a team like Kentucky where they drive down the field and it's 8 minutes to score. That's cool. You took 8 minutes off clock, you get the defense on the field, blah, 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 blah. Neat. Then Ole Miss gets the ball back and scores within three or four plays. That's got to do something to Kentucky's defense where they're saying, shit, if we can't stop anything.
I don't know, man. I think, but you could make that argument for Kentucky's offense too, being like, if you're running it down there, throw for 408 yards. Do you think the defensive linemen are getting down their stance anymore? Because I'm gonna tell you,
I guarantee Ole Miss's defense went home embarrassed.
when we played at St. X, all we did was run the ball. Like literally, all we did was run the ball. And I'll tell you, by the end of the fourth quarter, defensive linemen were not getting down their stance anymore because they're wore out. They are wore out.
There's nothing more punishing than just getting the ball ran down your throat
nonstop. And I know what you're saying, Chris. Like, you know, 14 seconds later, and I get all that. Yeah, I mean, that's when you makes you feel like you can't stop them because, honestly, when a team's a running team, that, you know, anything can happen. And one, you know, to get behind the sticks, you know, second and 15 all of a sudden, then the whole drive's derailed.
Screwed, yeah.
But I don't know, man. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. I think the offense does need to be a little bit more modernized. But at the same time, they're pretty balanced, man. That's what we got. That's what we got Grand for. They're balanced. What do you think? 60-40? I mean, that's a pretty balanced offense.
Yeah.
Again, we've played Ole Miss and Auburn. Auburn has lost a ton off their defense last year. Ole Miss, bad defensively the last 3 years. If you watch Tennessee, if you watch Florida, if you watch Georgia, and you watch them actually play, those teams are aggressive, they're fast, and they are not going to allow these stupid-ass screen passes catching it and taking it 5 to 10 yards, catching out 5 to 10 yards. No, they're going to shut him down and dare them to throw to Allen Daly or Cleavon Thomas, who should be a walk-on, or somebody like that who is totally irrelevant in the grand scheme of things with a good SEC team. I don't mean to like shit on the players, but they are not the type of receivers that should be in the SEC because they can't create separation, they can't create space, and then when they do get an opportunity, they drop it, a la DeMarcus Harris.
Yeah, there was a ton of drops that didn't help out Terry. Terry threw some good balls.
Two, three balls that Terry threw, perfect deep balls that were just dropped.
I mean, there wasn't.
That's the difference between Kentucky and a team like Auburn, who has playmakers. We don't have any playmakers, really. You just don't on the outside. You don't have a guy that you're going to go to at the end of the game, just throw it up to him and hope that he can make a play. I think Keaton Upshaw could be that guy, but they don't ever throw it to him.
I think Ali's been pretty decent. I thought he's had a pretty good season.
He's been, had a good year, and so has Hayes.
He's 6 foot, 198.
I mean,
he's not going to go up over.
He still has, what, almost like two games? But yeah, almost back-to-back games with 100 yards, man. I mean, that's pretty good for most UK receivers since Stoops has been here.
On most SEC teams, Joshua Ali is a slot. He's our number one.
No. Yeah, you're right there. I will agree with you on that. Yeah, for sure.
Playmakers make the difference. We don't have any. So once we start playing these Tennessees and Georgias, they're going to pack the line, and they're going to welcome Kentucky running it. Because we don't have Lynn Bowden out there.
I like looking at the grand scheme of things, too. So, say Kentucky does beat Mississippi State, and then they go and lose to Tennessee. Does it matter if Kentucky's 0-5 or 1-4? Think about that.
No.
I don't.
That looks pretty bad.
I don't think so.
They're both just terrible, yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, win or lose to this weekend, you have to win at Tennessee.
Yeah.
If you don't, 2-2 looks a lot better going to Georgia than 1-3 or 0-4. Because I'm going to tell you, Georgia has looked pretty decent. and I don't know, man. I'm just worried about it. So what's everyone's predictions, knowing what the weather is currently?
I just have the weather channel.
Mike's going to pop up the weather channel. Because I looked at it this morning. It was saying that it's scattered rain. So let's see here. Mike's going to pull it up here. What's he say?
It reset to.
Oh, it's all right.
Louisville, Lexington.
So last time, it's about 40% chance of rain at kickoff, and it's going to be about 40-50% chance the whole game.
Yeah. So what's the daily here?
Daily.
Let's go Saturday. Whoops.
I mean, they're calling for rain on and off all day, so that
cloudy with occasional rain showers is what it says. High 60. 72. So I mean, it's not going to be a downpour. It's going to be pretty much a wash.
About 5-10 mile per hour winds.
Yeah. I mean, Chris, do you any kind of the weather going to play any kind of factor now?
No, I don't, because I don't think Mike Leach gives a shit. He's going to keep their running game is throwing short passes, so they're going to keep doing that, and they're going to keep taking shots down the field. And I just don't think Kentucky's going to stop it.
All right, so give me a score.
38-24 Mississippi State.
38-24. I think last night when I go, if it's raining all through the game, I'll go 21-14. No, we'll do 21-17 Kentucky. If the rain is nothing, I'm gonna tell you it might get. As I just don't think they can. I just don't think they can fix it. I just don't think they can fix the secondary in this short of time. I think it's gonna be more like a 35-21 type thing, 24. So weather permitting, the last time I picked Kentucky to lose was, well, the only one time I've picked Kentucky when they lost, they actually turned around and won. That was the Florida game. I picked them when they beat Florida. I actually picked Florida to win because they looked terrible against Central Michigan. So
right.
What do you got, Mike?
I think if it's a rainy day, I think we win 21-17. If the weather's nice, I think, man, I hate to say it. I'd never pick against the Cats, but I think Mississippi State wins 35-28.
That's what I'm saying, man. I just don't think they can fix that secondary this quick. Man, it's going to be a sad day. So, what's everyone's MVPs, win or lose? I'll take Terry on offense because I think he's going to have to make some plays for them to be able to win. And I'll take the secondary because if the secondary just plays just a little better, we'll have a good chance of winning.
Yeah.
What do you got, Chris?
I think Colin Hill, Mississippi State's running back, is going to be eating lunch all day.
Oh, you're gonna take Mississippi State guys? Okay, I understand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who you got on defense?
I think Boogie has a good game.
I hope so. He has had a pretty slow start, that's for sure.
I'm going to go with Rodriguez because that's the strength of our team, is running. We win and die by the run, so you got to go with Rodriguez. Yeah. And then defense play of the game, just take anybody in the front seven that could get pressure. Anybody. Maybe Bully McCall. He actually looked pretty good out there, actually, getting some pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, McCall's looked pretty good, actually.
Actually, yeah, I'm really high on that kid.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of him.
He's a little wild card, but
he's got some attitude, but I like it. Yeah. At least he can back it up right now. I mean, he's looked really good the past couple games.
So we did this last night, and I'll do it again. The whole country has been, like, negativity all the time. And the positivity is one, congratulations to Chris and his wife for becoming master sergeants in the Air Force, which I love this fucking country, and because of him and his wife, his country stays awesome. So, congratulations and thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chris. That's awesome. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I am. I'm very, very proud of you. And then I told a story last night, and I'll tell it again because Mike rescued a dog when we were like in what we were 20,
about 20. 19,
and about 12 years ago, and basically the dog was. A rescue. She was scared to death. Was
beaten and
never always hiding. Always hiding and stuff. And Mike brought that dog. And today when I go see Michael and Mike's parents' house go swim, that dog is the first one that comes up to me.
Yeah.
And it was truly a rescue dog. I mean,
she used to hide under my bed during UK games because me and my dad were screaming so loud.
It's been quite a transformation. That's awesome. You should be very proud of that. And you know, with all these people saying they want to do good in this world, you two have actually done great stuff in this world. Actually, have made differences in people's lives, whether it be through the military or animals, stuff like that. Those are actually changes that you like to hear instead of people just talking about this bullshit. Actually, go out here and make a difference.
Well, thank you, dude. I mean, Chris said it last night too. I didn't step up. That was my fault. I'm distracted right now watching these kids. I don't know how you do it, Chris. My hat's off to you. I'm more proud of you for handling four kids. I'm watching two teenage girls right now, and they're driving me up the wall. Nick, thank you, Nick, for all you do, man.
Well, we kept the city from burning, but, you know, it's
I mean, if it wasn't for you two, I couldn't go out and be a degenerate and bet on football games all weekend. So, thank you guys.
Well, I serve the community. Chris serves this country. So, without Chris, there would be no community.
Yeah,
so
that's right. I actually go to Indiana to place bets.
Yeah, that's
thanks
right.
A lot. Thanks a lot, Bashir.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, I mean, this is the positivity that you need. People actually going out there making differences and making changes instead of just talking about it and putting a post up on Facebook or Twitter. Actually, go out there and do something, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want to make a change or don't like the way something is, go out there and do something with your life. And make a difference within your family or your own life, or make a difference wherever you want it to do. But as the two examples I gave from Chris, you know, being in the military, life longer now, And with Mike saving animals and stuff like that, I mean, Chris has a bunch of kids, Mike has a bunch of animals. So, you know, it's those are the positivity stuff I like to hear. Those are the type of things that people need to hear. This country's awesome. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care who's president or not president or whatever. This country's awesome.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's going to be awesome. It's the
country in the world.
It's going to be awesome. And it's stuff like Chris is doing and stuff like that. That's what makes it, keeps it awesome. So, I don't know. Chris, you got anything else on that?
Yeah, I can tell you I've deployed 7 times in my 11 years in the military. I've been to 26 countries, and I can tell everybody and anybody who's listening that there is nowhere else in the world like America. There's nowhere else that guarantees and provides opportunities for everybody who wants to work their ass off and go seek out opportunities. If you want to make excuses for yourself and be a victim and all that kind of stuff, then that's what you'll be for your whole life. If you want to work hard and have a good attitude and learn as much as you can, opportunities are present here. In no other country in the world is that the same.
I'll have to second that, and I think I kind of worked for everything I got. I wish I could get things handed to me. Apparently people be telling me I've been getting stuff handed to me, but I don't know. I haven't seen any of that. I didn't get anything for free in my life, I'll tell you that. Yeah. But people are gonna sit here and say, I hear it from their privilege, whatever that word is. I my parents both worked, and they weren't nothing special.
My parents were still working. They
weren't nothing special to give me and my brother what we wanted, and of course me and my brother moved on and done our thing. Like I said, I've been in other countries, but not like third world countries like Chris has, but everyone that has been to those places will tell you, you go to those places, you'll hug this fucking place when you come back. That's the truth. Yep. There'll be a lot more appreciation. What'd you say, Chris?
No shit, you kiss the ground.
Yeah, a lot of people do when they come back. So, all right, well, guys, let's just hope to get a more positive outcome this weekend. And that's right, I almost forgot. Mike is reminding me. We are going to do our Malachi Locks of the Week for betting, because we kind of want to add this in. And Mike's middle name is Malachi, and it's a cool name, so we're just going to add Malachi's Locks. Yeah. So that's what it is. So, Mike, what do you got?
All right. So the first upset, the first pick I
first
got.
First off, I don't know if you know this. Our other parlay is already dead because the Bears decided they went to play football last night and they won.
Oh, fuck. That's why we took Tampa Bay, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Wow.
So maybe these won't be locks. Maybe bet opposite of this.
Maybe. So the first one is, I like Texas as a value pick. The spread's 2.5 points. A spread like that, man, just if you're not confident under the favorite, take the underdog on the money line. +108, that's a good value.
Mike likes Tom Herman. I think they're garbage, but
we're gone. But I think this is their one chance to beat Oklahoma.
Probably
if
right.
not, they probably won't beat Oklahoma again for another 10 years.
Probably right.
So this is like their only legit chance of beating them. Second one I like is the over in the Ole Miss Alabama game.
Yes.
I think that was 69.5. I think Alabama might do that by themselves.
Yeah, I mean, if Kentucky puts up 41 against Ole Miss, all I can imagine, Alabama's going to start at 56, and anything above that is
and Ole Miss. And Ole Miss is Ole Miss. They'll get their points. Their offense is legit.
Ole Miss scored. They scored a bunch of points last year on a shitty Ole Miss team on Auburn or Alabama. Yeah. Excuse me.
And then the third one, Nick and Chris don't like this. They're drinking the Miami Kool-Aid. I'm not. I think Miami's not that good. They show they look good over ACC teams, which ACC sucks, dude.
But, exactly. It's why Clemson isn't going to beat them but this is.
Clemson's the only. This is the only game they're gonna have to like really get up for until the ACC championship. I think Clemson wins this game like 56-0.
I think it's gonna be a close game. Chris, do you think it's gonna be a close game?
I think it's gonna be 45-28.
Well, then that's covered.
They covered. There you go.
This guy.
So Chris agrees with me, even though he doesn't realize it. Way to be a degenerate.
I think relatively, especially in the last few years, Miami is a much improved team.
They're improved, but they're still not good.
Good compared to Clemson, but man, it drives me crazy that, like, as a society, as a college football society, we're now looking at teams that can't win a championship, but still can win like 10 or 11 games. It's not
ACC,
good.
See, Kentucky, with all their struggles this year, could win 10 games in the ACC.
I'll agree with Mike on that.
Yeah, I agree.
No. You know, since
I got one more. If you want a good, just like upset pick, Nick and I have talked. I think Chris, you're on the. You talked about this too. Vanderbilt over South Carolina +540.
I've said this from the start, and I swear he will not make it through the season.
No, Muschamp is going to get fired before the season's
over. Muschamp will not be coaching when they play Kentucky at the end of the season.
This is the game that gets them.
Yeah.
The worst decision he's made, maybe as a coach at South Carolina, is not starting Ryan Helinski this year and starting some bullshit graduate transfer senior from Colorado State who looks like a total asshole and can't throw the ball.
And he can get hurt like any second too. I mean, gosh dang, what a stupid move that was. I don't know why people keep hiring him. It's like Adam Gase in the NFL. Like, how is that guy working?
Adam Gase last week had a great quote when they asked why they played Mekhi Becton. He was like, well, you know, he put like his pads on, so we just thought he was ready to go. Like, of course the guy's gonna put his pads on. Like, you have to go talk to the guy and see if he's like hurt.
I just don't.
Like, he's clearly hurt. Talk to all your guys.
I don't understand how Adam Gase is still coaching in the NFL. I have no clue. He goes to teams, trades away all their good players, and then tries to win with these bullshit ass players, and then tries to say, I'm just such a good offensive genius. And it's like, oh my God. What are you doing?
Those are just coordinators, and they like they can't help themselves but to take head coaching job after head coaching job until they get their asses fired out of the NFL.
If he isn't,
remain a coordinator, dude.
He is about as a blueprint, I guess, identical twin to Chip Kelly style. I'm so smart, it doesn't matter who's running behind my offense, my shitty offensive line, or who's on the defense. I'm so smart that we'll win games. This guy, I'm telling you, he was something in Miami. I mean, he would if we not to mention this, but he traded away. At the time, Jay Ajayi was a top five back. He traded away for like a fifth round pick.
Yeah.
Not only does he trade guys away, but he like loses the trades.
Did he trade Jarvis Landry or did Landry
leave on? No, he traded Jarvis Landry. Well, he was probably the best slot receiver at that time for like a, well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's actually about a third and a fourth or something like that. That's what he ended up getting for him. But I mean, because I mean, Jarvis Landry has been great in Cleveland spent $13 million on him. They can have that. Slot receiver deserves that. That's why Chris's Patriots are always good, because they don't overpay for people. He's just did some ridiculous stuff. When he first got in there, we traded away our best linebackers at the time and got Kiko Alonso, which I like, but Kiko Alonso is injury prone like crazy.
And it's a bit of a loose cannon.
Yeah. I mean, he gets crazy out there.
You know what, that'd be fine. Little Coke addiction. No big deal.
Yeah. It's, like I said, man, I don't know how the guy's coaching. I don't know how Muschamp's coaching. Maybe Muschamp will be saved because of COVID. I mean, that's what's going to save. I'm going to tell you, Derek Mason's going to be saved because of COVID.
Yeah.
No.
I just don't think Vandy.
And it's all his fault.
I just think Vandy. They should have paid James Franklin more. He's actually a pretty damn good coach. They hit a home run with him.
Yeah.
And let him go to Penn State.
So he's such a total asshole.
Oh yeah, I can't stand the guy, but I mean, at the same time,
he can coach.
Yes, he can. He actually made Vandy, just like Vandy in basketball. They fire that
Stallings.
Yeah. And they haven't been good since he left. I mean, they actually had some pretty decent teams every year when he was there. I mean, they beat Anthony Davis and then. Yeah. So, but anyways, all right. Guess we'll get off here. Bullshitting around enough. I got to paint my house, which is like. God, the worst things ever to do is painting the house is one of them. God, I hate it.
Yep.
It's the worst.
Yeah, I hate painting.
My wife is such a perfectionist. It's just, it makes it even worse because it's like, okay, then you paint it. You know, that's the way it is. So she does paint it. I mean, she does painting stuff, but now I've been stuck doing this one today. So, all right. Well, I'm Nick.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chris.
Go Cats.